We're joined now by historian Kenneth Davis. He's the New York Times bestselling author of America's Hidden History and Don't Know Much About History, and he's back with a big book, Strong Man, The Rise of Five Dictators and the Fall of Democracy. And, of course, we want to talk with Ken about what's going on in Washington right now and beyond, 26 days before an election. But when we look at these five strong men that you have pointed out, let's go in reverse order. It's interesting that you choose to focus on Saddam Hussein. He was a guy who, as it turned out, was not all that hard to oust from power. The aftermath has been a disaster, but he, for a while, ruled Iraq with an iron hand, and the people fell in line, or we know what would have happened. But how significant was he to that region of the world during his reign of terror?
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me. It's a great question, and one of the reasons I included Saddam Hussein in this list of very murderous and ruthless dictators is that because his relationship to the United States was so significant over a long period of time. Obviously, Saddam Hussein came to power many years ago. The United States had a relationship with him, kind of winked at things as he went to war with Iran. In fact, there was support given to Iraq during that war, a war in which Saddam Hussein showed he was willing to gas his own people. More famously, he gassed the Kurds after the Gulf War, but it happened during the Iran-Iraq War as well. So the point is that these men that I've singled out in this book are used to using ruthless terror, including against their own people, to achieve their ends. And they can't often do it without the willing compliance of their own people, their own supporters, and sometimes other countries. So this is a cautionary tale. The other obvious connection that I make in the book is that Saddam Hussein was a very, very serious student of Joseph Stalin, who is one of the other five men I've profiled here. In fact, Saddam went by the nickname at a certain point. I think the book is the chapter on him is entitled Stalin on the Euphrates. Mm. He used the techniques that he had learned and seen Stalin use. He had his men trained by the East German secret police that came in the wake of Stalin. So there are connections that run between these five men, and that's why I finished up with Saddam Hussein.
And the others, Mao, Mussolini, Stalin, and Hitler, were all around at the same time. And Hitler is the one that history remembers most ardently and remembers him as perhaps the worst person on the planet in the 20th century, and for good reason. But his reign of terror was one that ended April 30, 1945, when he killed himself. But you go back to 1923, 22 years earlier than that. What happened then as far as the genesis of the rise of Adolf Hitler?
Well, first of all, I would start with the fact that the first one I feature here is Mussolini. And Mussolini created, in a way, the playbook, the template that Hitler was going to follow 10 years later. So and both men had something very important in common. They had both served in World War One. And World War One is a very important shaping event in telling the story of the rise of all of these men. They are all connected to the results of what happened after the war ended November 11th, 1918. It was supposed to be the war to protect democracy, as Woodrow Wilson said. In fact, it led to some horrible results, and including things that we're still dealing with today. And that's why it's very important to understand that history isn't a collection of dates and battles and speeches that have nothing to do with each other. History is about events affecting everything that follows. And that's why I think it's so important to understand these lessons of history. As I mentioned, Mussolini came into power first, 1922, elected. He's a member of the parliament in Italy, a constitutional democracy with a constitutional monarch. He's invited to become the prime minister. He was invited into the hen house, and the fox soon took over with murderous results. Something similar happens, of course, in Germany about 10 years later. Hitler is not elected, but he's the leader of the Nazi Party, a constitutional democracy, a very progressive one in many respects. He is invited to become the prime minister or chancellor in a very crisis-ridden Germany at that time.
Now, you note that, but I mentioned 23, not 33, and that's when Hitler was arrested, and many people thought he was over and done with. He would have been, what, at that time, 34 years old. But that arrest ultimately led to his rise. How so?
Oh, you're absolutely right. I missed the date that you had asked about. This is, of course, the fact is that Hitler had seen Mussolini's march on Rome, and he tried to replicate it with his what is known as the beer hall push. As Mussolini could have been stopped by an Italian army, Hitler was stopped by a German army. The German democratic government stood up to Hitler, and he was arrested and tried and briefly imprisoned, although not prison is what we would think of it. Mm-hmm. It was a rather comfortable setting, and it was during that time, while he's in prison, that he dictates or writes what was become famously Mein Kampf. This would become his playbook for establishing his ultimate rule over Germany.
All right. 877-217-5757. We'll take a call or two for Kenneth Davis as we head to the finish line. David in Shenandoah. David, you're on the air. Good morning. Please be brief. Hi, David.
Good morning, Jim. Sir, do you feel that Jared Kushner has paved a way to Saudi Arabia for exile for Trump should he lose this election?
All right. That's getting really out there. I don't think the president's going to escape the country. But another listener asked a question that may be more pertinent about this president, Donald Trump's affinity for these strong-arm leaders of today, Putin and Kim and the Saudi prince. He seems to like these people more than he likes fellow Americans like Joe Biden and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. What is it about these tyrants that attracts our president?
That's a really good and important question. I want to be clear, first of all, that in this book, Strongman, I do not mention any current political figures in the United States. I think that there are lessons that we should be learning. It's a cautionary tale, but this is not a book about the current. I think it's important to understand the history with an eye to the future. Look, these men have some similarities, the strong men that I'm talking about, the extreme nationalism with a call to restore a nation's greatness, placing blame on a single group, usually an ethnic or religious minority, Jews, communists, whatever they are, a warning of an emergency, often non-existent, or responding to severe economic distress, and finally calls for law and order and eliminating corruption. These are the things that put them in the position to take power, and certainly when we see some of these men around the world, a Putin in Hungary, in the Philippines, democracy has been under attack around the world, and we should take that very seriously. And when we are comfortable with that, and when we forget to take the lead, as the United States did in most of the post-war period for strengthening democracy, we run a great risk in our own country.
The book is Strong Man from historian Kenneth Davis. Thank you, Kenneth, and congratulations on another fine work. I'm sure another bestseller, important at this time. Lauren Hickman, our producer, says on this date, 1945, which would be 75 years ago today, Harry Truman, the 33rd American president, announced the atomic bomb secret shared with Britain and Canada. And until tomorrow, for Matt Doyle, I'm Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned, stay safe, and remember that First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provides signature support.